This is Bleed Tech Blue, the only all-La Tech sports radio show. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue will bring you the best La Tech coverage in the state of Louisiana. Here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
That's right. I'm Jonathan Ford, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Casey Allen joining me again this week. Guest co-host Jason Jones supposed to be joining us like he always is. He'll roll in here shortly.
He's traditionally late.
He is. Casey, of course, the basketball team's off to a fast start. We'll talk a lot of basketball tonight. Last hour, last 30 minutes, we'll talk recruiting. Big recruiting weekend in Ruston this past weekend. We will recap what happened and who Tech's looking at and what they're looking at to fill all the needs on the football field. There's even a coach that left today that just got to Tech 3 weeks ago. He's already left.
That was really weird, wasn't it?
It was very bizarre. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Any Louisiana Tech question, any topics you want to talk about for Louisiana Tech sports, give us a call on a Ruston Tractor hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and, of course, Ruston Tractor. This past week, Tech went on the road, continued their Texas road
domination.
Hey. There you go. Just like the Hornets did.
That's right.
We'll kind of avoid NBA talk.
Can't get it done on the road in state, but if we go,
there you go,
to other states,
it works.
It works, man.
They beat Texas Arlington, of course, 2 weeks ago. Then last Thursday, Texas State, they beat them 84-67. Stayed out there in Central Texas, then had UTSA Saturday. A nail biter, 73-71. They kind of got into a firestorm on a team that really was hungry for a victory, and UTSA came out swinging, Casey.
UTSA, yeah, and you know what? I'm just so jacked right now for the whiteout game on Thursday. I can't wait. It's going to be cold, as you know, Idaho, good cold weather team. I mean, you know, they've proven themselves.
Let's just hope that they can get on the plane, they can make it into Monroe or Shreveport tomorrow.
Well, yeah. I hope everybody's safe, of course.
Because there's a possibility the Lady Texters can't get out of the airport in the morning. At 5 a.m., they're supposed to leave Monroe. And if the conditions are like they could be in the morning, they're not leaving Monroe at 5 o'clock.
Right, but if you or I or both of us have to go out there and dump sand on the runway, hey, we'll do it. I know people. We can get out there
in high and low places.
Hey, well, mostly low, but we won't get into that.
You know, Casey, the way that I think that Louisiana Tech won that game at UTSA is they used their depth to their advantage. When you look at the participation for both squads, UTSA played seven players, and Tech, like they have in every game, played the entire bench.
We're deep. What do we have, like 10 guys averaging 10 minutes or something like that?
It's something along those lines.
Jason's the stat guy.
He's 6 minutes late.
Oh, okay.
And here he is. Jason, what I was just talking about is how the reason Tech was able to pull that gutsy game out on the road in San Antonio was their depth. When you look at UTSA was worn out by the end of that game. They had three guys play 38 to 40 minutes, one guy 33 minutes, two guys 20 minutes, and one guy 10 minutes. So you had three guys essentially on the floor the entire game.
Yeah, I looked at that, and they don't play hardly anybody. So when you're playing seven guys at most, really any kind of real minutes, and then Coach White's playing 11, that is going to take a toll, especially if you just did the same thing two nights before.
Yeah, Texas State's not extremely deep either, but Texas State's just kind of struggling right now. I mean, Tech beat them by 17 on the road. They played a whole lot more guys than UTSA played, but you're right. Four guys had 30 minutes or more, and of course, there's only 40 total minutes to be played in a basketball game.
No, and let's be honest here, too. I mean, so yeah, Tech was maybe a little fresher, but I think you can say the big reason Tech won was Keon McNeil hit 9 three-pointers.
Against UTSA, absolutely. Keon McNeil, 9 for 15 from three-point range, 11 for 19 from the field. He played 32 minutes, but you know Coach White wasn't going to pull him off the floor when he's shooting as hot as he was.
Yeah, those are ridiculous stats, and who saw that coming, you know what I'm saying? The beautiful thing is, like, it's always somebody different that steps up. You know what I'm saying? And that's good for a team if you want to get to the tournament. Look at our close wins on the road, though. UTSA beat them by two. I was telling you before the show about how we went somewhere and I couldn't remember. Arkansas Little Rock.
Yep.
And beat them by two. Close games. Winning close games is large at this point.
And UTA, they really won two games in a row that were nail biters. With UTA then, not two in a row, but two out of the last three were nail biters, and they pulled them out. You know, Casey, you brought up the fact that Tech has X number of players with over 10 minutes. Chris Anderson has over 10 minutes. Isaiah Massey's averaging over 10 minutes. Jamel Johnson's averaging over 10 minutes. Michael Kaiser, Alex Hamilton, Speedy Smith, Brandon Gibson, Keon McNeil, Cordarius Johnson, and Raheem Appleby are all averaging over 10 minutes a game.
You should have 10 guys, and then J.L. Lewis is right behind him. He's the 11th guy.
7.9 minutes a game.
And he's going to get in there when you need somebody with a little more size to him that can get in there and bang a little bit.
And then whatever you – like what we were talking about with UTSA and Texas State – when you don't have the depth like Louisiana Tech has, you've got four guys of your Texas State with 30 or more minutes. That's you're going to be dead by the end of the game, especially with the style of play that Louisiana Tech makes you play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, against Tech, they had a 40-minute game, a 39-minute game. That was two of their better players. And then Barrage, that scored the barrage of points, had 38 minutes.
Look at you. Play on words.
Golly, I'm just with it. I just walk in.
You're just on your game all the time.
All the time. Then they had the fourth guy with 33 minutes. So four guys played 33 minutes or more, and then the other three guys were 20 minutes, 20 minutes, and 10. They played seven guys, and one of them for only 10 minutes. So, yeah, they were going to get worn out. But if y'all remember a couple of years ago, Keon's shown this before. Yeah. Late in the season against his freshman year against North Dakota. That game was on TV. It was like I had it on Dish Network or maybe it was on Cox. I don't remember.
Were you one of four people that got to see that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was really late. But McNeil started but had a very similar game. 8 of 13 from the field, 7 of 9 from 3, 27 points in 36 minutes. So we saw glimpses. If he gets hot, you know, that team had – you know, Cordarius Johnson was a fellow freshman. They had Olu Ashilu on the court. And, hey, just get out of the Keon's way. And he was just coming up to the top of the key. And if you gave him an inch, he's gonna splash it right in your face.
One thing I'm glad for Keon's sake is he's not a true point guard. He can handle the ball fine, but he's not a true point guard. Whenever he was a freshman under Coach Rupp, he was the point guard. And when Coach White got to Tech, he transition into a two-guard spot. It took him a little while last year to transition to that spot, but he got used to it. And that's obvious whenever you knock down nine threes in a game, you're clearly comfortable in your position.
Yeah, and see, that game he was starting at the two-guard next to DeAndre Brown. But that was late in the year. I believe at the beginning of the year he was backing up DeAndre and wasn't getting very many minutes and was being basically a distributor. And he is in his perfect role right now. Come off the bench, guns blazing.
And he said today in a press conference for the media that his teammates against UTSA just told him, keep shooting the ball. And whatever, you've got faith in your team, and they're telling you they're behind you, you don't have a whole lot of care. You're not playing tight. When you're playing loose, you can make nine threes. Now, if you're playing tight, there's no way you're going to make nine threes. It's because you're gonna be like Jay Ford out there shooting baskets and making bricks off right. The rim and off the backboard. May not even draw iron.
Well, even if you are extremely loose, there's no way you make nine threes. That's not three.
Unless you're Keon McNeil.
Right, unless you're Keon McNeil. Those are ridiculous numbers. I mean, what is that? I failed math twice. Is that 27 points?
You failed math twice and you're still in college. Is that the reason you're still in college?
Hey, we got a snow day tomorrow, too. It's big time.
Look at you.
And it's my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. We won't talk about how old you are because you probably shouldn't still be at school.
Probably not, but you know what? It's a six-year plan. I'm pulling a Van Wilder.
Something tells me your dad's telling you that.
He knows. He knows.
Oh, goodness. And, you know, you hinted earlier, Casey, about how excited you were for Thursday's game, the whiteout, Idaho. This game's got a lot riding on it for Louisiana Tech, and Idaho's a good basketball team.
They are good, and they're seemingly not good because what's their schedule? 6-9, 2-3 in the WAC. but they lost a heartbreaker if you're an Idaho fan to Utah State in Logan, Utah.
And they went on the road to see San Jose State beat them by nine.
Right.
Beat Seattle on the road. Lost to Utah State in overtime. Lost to Denver by six at home. Lost to New Mexico State by one at home. Now they're going on their longest road trip of the season. That's what's going to help Tech. Is the fact that they haven't been already in Texas or close, that they're leaving Moscow, Idaho today or tomorrow, and that's you've made that road trip. Have you?
Yeah, my freshman year.
It's a brutal trip.
Yeah, it's brutal. And
you fly into Spokane.
Yeah, and then we go take a bus to
an hour or more.
Yeah, something like that in the snow. And the worst part was we were on like a three game road trip, I think, West Coast swing, and then we went to Moscow, and we had to eat like Kentucky Fried Chicken for the third straight day. Thanks, Coach Condi. So that was like the worst part of it. But yeah, it is brutal. And I mean, you know, I was just a manager. I wasn't playing, of course. I'm sure it would have been a lot more brutal if I was, you know, had to run.
So in other words, this not an easy trip for them to make and be able to have their sea legs back even in 24 hours.
And the beautiful thing is we're so deep and they don't have their legs, so it's going to work out in our favor. I'm worried because I think their leading scorer is a big dude.
He's huge.
And we're not very large.
Talking about Barone.
That hurts me.
Barone is the best low block scorer in the whack, and there's, and it's not even close.
I think he's the son of Officer Barone on TV, you know, because that guy's like 6'8". It's got to be.
You're talking about now. We're gonna go
show.
He's talking about Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh gosh,
old school, baby.
Yeah,
you're probably in diapers. Whatever.
No, I remember it. I just wasn't a fan.
They actually play a ton of players. They've got Barone and Madison playing over 30 minutes, and Connor Hill playing right at 30. They have somebody at 25, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yeah. guys playing double figure minutes. 11 down here. Matt Borton scores 2 points and one rebound in 10 minutes. So he's not the most productive guy in the world, but he does play 10 minutes. They're playing 11 guys just like Tech, but a lot of them are getting 10, 11, 12 minutes. So they've kind of got their starters and then they got their second string.
But they've got three guys averaging over in double figures: Kyle Barone, Madison, and Hill. So those are the guys you got to watch. Barone being the 6'9", 240-pound bruiser. 6'10", 220 is what he's listed at on Rivals.
Madison's 6'5", 205, so he's scoring 15 points a game. And then Connor Hill's a sophomore, 6'2", 190. So, you know, they've got three guys at three different positions completely.
He averages 8 rebounds a game. He almost averages a double-double. That's impressive.
Yeah.
He's not an excellent shot blocker. He's got an assist and a half a game, so that tells you that if he doesn't have what he's looking for, he's going to distribute the ball, and that's deadly when you've got a big man that can pass. So,
yeah, he does play a lot of minutes, 33 and a half. I was trying to see if he gets in foul trouble at all. I'm not seeing that.
Well, he needs to.
He doesn't shoot. He doesn't shoot free throws very well. 63.9% from the free throw line. So, yeah. That's maybe you go employ a hack-a-shack defensive strategy against Mr. Barone.
Yeah. Well, he's only got 34 fouls in 15 games, so he's averaging just a little over 2 fouls a game. And just right at 2 turnovers a game. So he's not doing terrible in that regard. But yeah, you know, 550 shooting percentage. And like you said, he's 6'10", 200 plus.
We just need to send him, like, deliver him a bunch of Dowling scatter loads and get them all, you know, like, that's what we need to do.
But
that's what we need. He'll be tired. He'll be fatigued.
Coach White's style of play really is effective against a big guy like that, because you know they're going to want to slow it down and pound it. And if he's spending all his time just running up and down the court, he's going to get winded. He's going to be reaching down, grabbing those knees, and Tech will surround somebody like that. Kaiser's long. He's going to block some shots, and the guards are going to come down and scrap, you know, slap the ball. Bigs don't like to play against teams like Tech, for sure. And
well, they've got a guy that shoots the three ball, last name Hill, 44.8%. That's incredible.
Yes.
especially since he shot 87 threes this year and he's made 44.8% of them.
They just let him jack it up whenever he wants to.
So let's take a break. On the other side of the break, more basketball, because this is a big week for Louisiana Tech basketball. Two home games, one Thursday, 6 o'clock, then another one Saturday, 7 o'clock, inside the TAC. Make sure you make it out to those games. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio. Publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Casey Allen joining me here with also the man with the plan, Jason Jones.
I'm here.
We're the two bookends of radio. We could play tackle for somebody, I promise. Somebody would let us play tackle.
You better have a quarterback that can get the ball out in like 1.0 seconds.
I didn't say we'd be very good at it. I just said we could play tackle for somebody. Send an email to radio@bleedtechblue.com. Your thoughts, your topics. What do you want us to talk about? What do you want to hear our thoughts on? Radio@bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call. Rust and Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts in Minden, Tommy's Tees, and Rust and Tractor. Continuing to talk about the Idaho Vandals, we began in the break talking amongst ourselves about turnovers, and you're right. They don't turn over the ball a whole lot. The guy who averages the most turnovers is Steven Madison at 2.3 turnovers per game. That's not a ton. Kyle Barone, the big guy at 2.1.
And they're playing the most minutes on the team, too. So that kind of goes with the territory. But, you know, they average 13 turnovers a game, and they get 4 steals on defense. Tech averages 12 turnovers a game. They get 9 steals a game, led by Speedy Smith with 2.2. So Idaho hustle environment, you might see that turnover number go up a little bit. I will say if Tech gets over 15 or 16 turnovers, it's going to be really hard for Idaho to overcome that. They're going to have to shoot really well and play a near perfect game if they turn the ball over too many times.
And they're going to be in Hill's back pocket the entire game. They're not going to let that guy get an open look.
Oh no.
Because if he's proven with this, just in his stats, you don't even have to see the guy play, that he doesn't need a whole lot of room. If you can make almost 45% of your threes, you can shoot it whether somebody's in your face or not in your face.
Yeah, y'all are talking about Idaho's record. They're 6-9, 2-3 in the conference. They just came off a tough three-game stretch where they lost to 1 point by New Mexico State, 6 to Denver, and in overtime to Utah State. Those are three of the better teams in the WAC. So before that, they're 6-6, and they're 2-0. And they've got some close losses. Lost to 4 at UTEP, you know, lost by 3 to Montana. So they're not a horrible team. They're just a pretty good team, and they're capable of beating Tech if Tech doesn't come to play, for sure.
And they shoot the ball extremely well. They're ranked 32nd in the country at 47.3% from the field. That's impressive. While you on the flip side, Tech's at 41%, which is 255th. It's a big difference, and that's only 6 percentage points separating them.
Yeah, and we talked about them handling the Utah State crowd pretty well. If they can take them to OT, playing in that Cracker Jack box type of environment, I just hope that and not to mention not getting distracted by the females of Logan, Utah, because let me tell you, the hottest women in America, you wouldn't believe it, Logan, Utah. Been there.
You're talking about.
That's what everybody's always told me, but I've never graced the doors, if you will, of Logan, Utah.
Just be ready for that day.
I probably won't ever go.
Okay.
You're talking about field goal percentage. You know, Tech shooting a little over 41%, and Idaho's shooting, 47%. But check this out. Field goals attempted, 776 for Idaho. Guess how many Tech's taken?
Oh, probably 150.
How many shots they've taken in the whole year?
Yeah.
1,029. They're shooting a little.
Joe Dirt just nailed it. He said 1,000, and he said 1,029, and he.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, if this webcam was working over my shoulder, you would see him doing jumping jacks. He just did them.
So, yeah, they're shooting 6 percentage points less, but they've taken over 300 more shots on the year. So they're getting theirs by stealing the ball and playing at a fast pace. And if they can get Idaho playing fast, they'll wear them down for sure.
You know, today ESPN released their bracketology and has Tech as a 13 seed in the West region. Now it's them winning the WAC.
Right. Yeah, they've got to have a placeholder for every conference.
Last week it was Utah State that they had picked in there, so it doesn't mean a whole lot right now because the WAC is still a one bid league. It'd be nice if they could get to a two bid league, because Tech would feel a little bit better about their chances. But as of now, they're playing in the San Jose region against Missouri as a 4 seed and Tech as a 13 seed.
Hey, didn't Mizzou get upset last year in the first round?
Boom,
just saying.
Boom, shakalaka.
Just saying. And I know it's not even February, but hey, it's. Jason's over here.
Jason's over here putting his phone up to the window. I'm wondering if we're in the back of in the late 90s with our phones having reception issues.
I didn't even get a phone until 1999. So if you had a phone with reception issues before that, you were well ahead of your time.
We all good now?
Oh, all good.
Well, let's talk a little bit about RPI. Because of if Tech's looking at a number of 13 seed, what could they do to possibly be that second bid for the WAC should they not win the conference tournament? They're sitting at 46th as a projected RPI on Warren Nolan. That's up 6 spots from and up, I mean, in the bad direction. From last week, they're number 40, you know, and they won 2 games. That's hard to fathom, but it's because teams that they played that were helping their strength of schedule probably lost. Their strength of schedule probably got a little worse over the last week, and that's the reason they rose in the RPI. But still, 46 is not too shabby.
Yeah, they're sitting at 67 on Massey, and like we talked about, they're favored to win almost all their games. Utah State's favored in Utah, 41%. Tech's given a chance to win, and then the last 2 games of the year, Tech's still going to be the underdog. But I mean, if something like that holds true, it'd be interesting to see what their RPI would be. I mean,
they would either have to run the table or just lose the one game out at Utah State to get a possible berth and to make a deep run, probably to the WAC championship game, and lose. That's the only way they'd be able to possibly get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament.
You got 14 games left. They're not going to count CBC in the RPI, so really 13 games left.
You mean Central Baptist. Let's go ahead and call them who they are. They're not CBC. Who in the world knows who CBC is that's listening right now?
Yeah, you'd have to be from Conway. So Central Baptist College out of Conway. 13 games left that count. That would give you 30 total. Yeah, I'm thinking, if you lose 3 of those and you're 24-6, it'd be cutting it pretty close.
You're going to have to lose one, and I'm telling you, the one has to be out at Utah State because that's not a bad loss, losing at Logan.
Well, and it's not terrible to lose at Denver or at New Mexico State. The problem is they're the last 2 games of the year, so you want to finish strong.
And their strength and their RPIs are not very good. When you look at Denver right now sitting at 140 RPI and New Mexico State at a 105.
Yeah.
Tech's got only 2 games left on a schedule with anybody with below 100 RPI, and that's Utah State.
Yeah.
So that's what makes those games imperative.
26-4, losing to Utah State, I think that definitely gets you in. 25-5, 24-6, you're going to be probably on that bubble, and it's just hard when you're a bubble team in a smaller conference. It's hard to get that shot.
And I was talking to somebody,
especially with the strength of schedule being so low.
I was talking to somebody about this earlier. It's hard not to look ahead like we're doing right now to think about what the record potentially could be at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It's even harder for me as a shoulda, coulda, woulda thinker to think back to Northwestern State and McNeese.
Tragic.
But it's just hard to win on the road. It really is.
Because McNeese is sitting at a 205th ranked RPI. That's killing them right now as far as their RPI goes. That's a bad loss.
That's the one that hurts, especially coming off just a week earlier, 8 days earlier, losing to Northwestern State, who's a better team. But,
Yeah, Northwestern State's sitting at a 65th RPI. That's not a terrible loss.
No.
5 days later, they go into Little Rock. They get it done, win by two. And that was the big road win that they needed to try to get them going in the right direction, going into WAC play. So then you saw them just recently going to Texas and win three straight in a row on the road. And they're going to have, after this week, the big test comes. You've got 9-7 San Jose waiting on Thursday, and then the big Utah State game on Saturday, January 26th.
Let's take an early break. On the other side of the break, we'll have one more segment. Then we'll have Coach White at 6:45 talking Louisiana Tech basketball, talking about that whiteout game, 6 o'clock Thursday in the TAC. First 250 fans, I believe, get a free T-shirt.
Sweet.
Free jambalaya. I mean, come eat. Come eat for free. Get you a ticket that's they're reasonably priced. Come out to the TAC 6 o'clock for the whiteout. Make some noise. That's the biggest. That's the most important part is be loud. It doesn't matter what you wear, honestly.
Right. Be verbal.
Be verbal.
I'm gonna wear a white shirt. J4 just gonna take his shirt off.
Heck,
and that's
no,
gonna
he's
be a, that's gonna be a whiteout. It would
blind everyone in attendance. And no one wants to see that. So let's take this break so everybody can think about that terrible sight. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 96.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue is back on the radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of Bleed Tech Blue and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Casey Allen and Jason Jones joining me. Little basketball talk. Then we're going to head to talking about talking with Coach White. I'll get it out at 6:45. Then 7 o'clock, flipping gears to football and football recruiting. Tech lost a football coach in the last 24 hours. I would go ahead and say that's when the news started coming out yesterday about Coach Gibbs. So we'll talk about that beginning at 7 o'clock. But first, send us an email, radio at bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call, Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Guys, we've talked a whole lot about Idaho. What's good for Tech is that they are coming, like I said, they have to come to Tech. And that's their first game of their road trip. That's going to help a lot. And I think that's going to be an X factor of the game. But the second game this week on Saturday against Seattle should not be as tough of a time as the Vandals will be. What do y'all think?
Shouldn't be.
Are you saying if a frog had wings?
Hey, I'm just saying. It'd be nice to beat Idaho and still have momentum. I'm just worried about Idaho, you know?
Yeah, but this is radio, so we got to talk about two games. There's not just one game.
It's my second time.
Okay. It's your second time. I'm a rookie.
Throw me a bone. All right.
But, you know, the Seattle team is not very good. They're 292nd in RPI. And to put it in perspective, Texas State's 296. Anytime you're over 250 in RPI, you're really not a very good basketball team. Now, UTSA was 264, but they played out of their minds Saturday. So that's why you got to prepare for every game. Anything's possible.
No doubt. Seattle, you know, they seem to be, when they joined the WAC, they seem to be a program on the rise that was going to, you know, be one of the, at least the middle of the road kind of WAC teams. You know, you knew Texas, Arlington, and Denver were supposed to come in and be good, and you knew New Mexico State and Denver were still going to be, I'm sorry, New Mexico State and Utah State were still going to be good, obviously, but you thought Seattle would kind of be fighting for that at least upper tier, middle of the road kind of spot, but they're kind of lingering back. They're 5-10. Texas on Massey's favored to win 93%, 7%. I don't know what their struggles are, why they haven't been able to put it together. They've lost,
but they've lost some pretty close games.
Yeah.
At home against Idaho by 7 points, on the road at Utah State by 9, on the road at San Jose State by 5.
Double OT
lost to New Mexico State at home. Now they got drummed pretty good by Denver. That's coming off a double overtime loss 2 days before by 13.
They've lost five in a row. The problem is before that they beat Campbell and Northern Illinois, who were both ranked horribly, over 300 RPI, I believe, in both of them. And then before that, they lost by nine to Jackson State, who's 1-14. And they've lost to 4-12 Eastern. No, they beat 4-12 Eastern Washington. I'm sorry. So that Jackson State loss was terrible. They have lost five games recently. They're more respectable, but they just haven't been able to kind of put anything together.
Yeah, their RPI on Warren Nolan is projected at 316 right now.
Yeah. So that's one.
And I just got finished saying that people in the 200s were bad basketball teams.
It can't get much worse than 300s because there's only, I believe, 360 or so teams.
Goodness gracious. We just don't want to be the team that gives Seattle their inaugural WAC victory because they're over. Like, all time.
Like all time.
I mean, this is the first year they've been in the WAC, am I correct?
Yeah. And what's going to help them coming to Ruston is, like I said, the travel from going all the way to the northwest United States to Ruston, Louisiana, to the south central United States is not an easy trip. So they're going to go to UTA first because UTA and Tech are travel partners. So they go to UTA first, and they come to Ruston just in the opposite for Idaho. They come to Ruston, then they go to Arlington.
If we have anybody listening from above the border, that is Arkansas, Seattle's coached by Cameron Dollar. And any Razorback fans out there would remember that in 1995, Arkansas had won one national championship, and they were playing in the second straight championship game against UCLA. And Tyus Edney, their starting point guard for UCLA, got hurt, and one Cameron Dollar came in and led UCLA to the national championship. And he's been famous for that ever since. Now he's, 37 years old. He's been coaching as an assistant at Georgia, St. Louis, Washington, and now he's the head coach at Seattle since 2009. But, Cameron Dollar's their coach. And I really thought, and I still think, he's got him on the right track. I'm just not sure why the fall off from last year, because I felt like they started off 17-14, but they were playing a light schedule, and then 11-20, and then 12-15. It seemed like he was going to kind of turn that corner, but in basketball, the recruiting kind of deal, you lose one key recruit or one injury, and then your basketball team can be vastly different.
They've had some blowout losses this year. Virginia beat them by 40. Boise State beat them by 23 at home.
Boise State's a good team, though.
Boise's good, but by 23 at home?
Well, that's embarrassing.
You can't get shellacked at home. You can get shellacked on a road like you did at Virginia by 40.
Who'd Boise State beat and give them their first loss the other day? Wyoming? On like a last-second three?
Speaking of Wyoming, some drama happened with them last night. They had a player that got in a fight, and he's...
See ya.
But he may be... We're talking criminal charges.
Oh, like not during a game, like at a bar or something?
At a bar fight.
Oh, no.
He punted at somebody's head, supposedly. I mean...
Yikes. Did he win the fight?
Casey. Look at him.
Yeah, I mean... What's the most important? I mean, come on.
Did he instigate it? What happened? Come on. Somebody hitting on his girl?
Anytime you punt ahead, probably not a good idea.
Right.
But talking about...
But he did pull a Johnny Manziel. Ooh, I just went there.
I don't...
Talking about how bad Seattle is, they lost to Jackson State, whose RPI is 339. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Boise already has two non-Division I wins. Corbin University and Walla Walla University.
Walla Walla.
Walla Walla.
That's kind of a fun word to say.
I'm still trying to figure out your Johnny Football reference.
Johnny Football had a bar fight, didn't produce his ID. Was supposed to be suspended for the first game of the year, and all of a sudden that disappeared, and he played all year.
Maybe I'm bitter because I'm almost 24 and he's like 16.
20.
Whatever, close enough. And he's peaking right now, but I think he's a punk, Johnny Football. But he's got more Heismans than I do. So
he does. One more.
Hey.
You got time.
I still got time, man.
Let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll have Coach White, head men's basketball coach for Louisiana Tech, with us talking about the whiteout. Run through the promotions for the whiteout real fast. The first 500 Tech fans get the free official whiteout T-shirt. The first 200 students get free pizza at the concession stand with their ID and free jambalaya and the cotton candy as long as supplies last to fans at the Tack. This is Thursday, 6 o'clock, wideout game.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We have Coach Mike White, Louisiana Tech men's basketball coach, on the line with us. We'll open up the phone lines back up right after we get off the phone with Coach White. Rust and Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rust and Tractor. Well, Coach, congratulations on a fast start in the WAC.
Thank you, Jay Ford. Thanks for having me. Let me tell you, I just walked from my office to my car, and I'm literally thawing out here trying to keep my teeth from chattering.
This is weather that us Southern boys are not used to.
This is ridiculous. Wow.
We live in Louisiana for a reason, not in Alaska.
No question. I know. Usually basketball seasons are a little bit more pleasant than this. We usually get this on our WAC road trips, but now we got it at home. But I'm sure it'll blow through here soon.
But at least the WAC road trips have been good. Been good to you so far. UTA, a close W. UTSA, another close W. And then in between those two was a 17-point victory at Texas State. Talk about that Texas road trip, Coach, real fast.
Yeah, sure. You know, first and foremost, it was great to have our fans travel with us. It was really neat for our kids to be able to experience that and give them some confidence and in the fact that they're part of something special, building a program and generating excitement throughout our community and throughout our fan base. So I thank all those fans that have traveled, especially the UTA that helped us pull out a nail biter and one that, you know, you shoot 28% and find a way to win. And it's a great sign, obviously. I thought that carried over into a really good performance at Texas State where, you know, we had a 17-point lead at halftime and didn't come out in the second half and play great. And I thought that carried over, you know, a little bit of complacency into UTSA. And some of that had to do with fatigue and it being the third game in a row on the road. And some of it had to do with UTSA playing pretty darn good. But now we're back at the Tack and ready to protect our home court. We need to find our edge back.
Coach, speaking of – this is Jason, by the way. Speaking of the kids buying into the program, you're in your second year. When you took the job and you saw yourself maybe a year in, where did you see yourself and where do you think you are now in terms of your vision from a year ago?
Well, you know, as you and I and Jonathan talked, I remember in the locker room probably a couple days after I got the job, we all knew that this place – you know, had and has promise, and that big things can be done here. And we put high expectations on ourselves. And, you know, the theme that I wore out and to the team and to the media and that we wore out to each other on a daily basis last year was just earning respect and you know, developing a style of play and just trying to be as competitive as we can be. And, getting better every day, and that's what we did. And I was really, really proud of our first year. And, you know, a lot of people, including ourselves, were a little bit surprised with how quickly a couple of our freshmen came along. You know, for us to make the championship game in our first year was tremendous. And I think it's just carried over to this year where, you know, now all of a sudden we find ourselves, although young, with a pretty good amount of experience because our sophomores, you know, who are starters, played a ton as freshmen. And our staff's done a great job, and our juniors and seniors have really bought in, and all of a sudden we got a pretty deep athletic team. We added some good pieces last spring. And, I'm you know, to answer your original question, I'm very pleased with where we're at. Are we an NCAA tournament team right now? I'm not sure. But I know that's our goal. I know that also we're not complete. I know we can continue to get a lot better, and that's what we're striving for daily.
Coach, we were talking with today in the press conference about the focus of your team. You say that's not one of y'all's fortes. Just talk about what you do with your team daily, honestly, on how you try to fix that.
Sure, you know, just continue to stress it really is all I know. We have a great group of kids that really get along, that work their butts off. We we've only had probably three or four average practices this year, and we've probably had 60 just terrific practices. Today was one of those average ones, you know, and that's why you don't find me in the best of moods. Just, you know, I'm a little bit down on the fact that, you know, we're in such a good position. We're back again in Ruston. We have an opportunity to have two opponents come into to the TAC and be in first place in this league. And, you know, for us to have an average practice is unacceptable. We got to avoid complacency. We're not overly experienced, and we don't have anyone on the roster that's won a championship or that's gone to the tournament. And that's, you know, there's something to be said for those programs that win every year. And one of the big factors is they know how to win. And, you know, we know how to get to 5-0. We know how to get to 14-3. But can we learn how to maintain success, and how do we deal with this success? We'll find out here shortly.
Yeah, Coach, you led right into my next question. You got a heck of a test Thursday in the TAC, a team that's 5-9, but really real close to being a whole lot better than that, with a lot of close losses to some really good basketball teams.
Oh, they scare the heck out of me. If we just show up and think we're going to win because we're at home, then we're going to lose. We've lost our minds. And that's the message we're trying to get across to our guys. And you know how it is. We're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old young men that, you know, they buy in to a certain extent. They don't hang on every word we say, unfortunately. I wish they did. I'm glad they don't, because we're not always right. But, you know, Idaho could easily be 5-0 in our league. They were 2-0 against Louisiana Tech last year. They have a ton of experience. They have 12 upperclassmen on the roster. You know, they won't come into the TAC intimidated by any stretch. They're trying to break through. They know that they're better than their record indicates, and they'll come in with a lot of confidence. They got a really good, talented front court. They're very, very structured. They really execute offensively. They're very, very hard to guard. So we'll have to play very well to continue our winning ways.
Given all those facts, Coach, what will a big crowd – it always is great for y'all to see a big crowd inside the TAC, but given how tough of a opponent you have Thursday in Idaho and the Idaho Vandals, how big would a big crowd mean for this game during the whiteout?
It'd be huge. You know, I was so appreciative for the fans that came over to UTA. They were a huge factor in that game. And I think we could have, heck, 10 times as many as that in the TAC Thursday night. And I expect that. I think it'll be our biggest crowd since I've been here. We hope for that. And our kids deserve it. They've laid it on the line every night, you know, on the road or at home, but especially at home. And our fans, our home crowds have gotten better and better. They've become more of a factor in our home games. Our students are back now, so I anticipate a great atmosphere. And I think our kids will embrace it, and it'll excite them even more. So I appreciate everyone's consideration, who plans on coming out or who's considering it, because I think we can make that place live again, and I think it can be a win-win for everybody. It can be a lot of fun in there Thursday night.
Coach, we've been talking about how you play several guys, and a lot of people are familiar with Speedy and Raheem and some of the guys that have been around. Talk about some of your new guys. It seems like the second half of the season, they're starting to really come into their own. Chris Anderson had a good game the other night, and Jared Johnson's playing well. And then Alex Hamilton, we feel like, is really taking off.
Yeah, you know, our bench has been unbelievable. Probably – we're 17 games in. I would say the first 10 games or so, the biggest bright spot for us was our press. In the last six or seven games, it's just been our bench, period. You know, offensively, defensively, how many minutes that they've earned, different guys stepping up on different nights. And it's really led by Keon McNeil, who's, you know, essentially a starter coming off the bench for us. And Alex Hamilton could be starting for a bunch of different teams, as talented a freshman as there is in our league. Maybe the most talented guy on our roster. He's been phenomenal. He's coming off actually a couple games though where he hadn't been quite as sharp. So it's just interesting how it fluctuates. And you know, it's hard on road trips with freshmen. And then as you mentioned, the junior college transfers. You know, we knew it was only a matter of time. Just like we knew it was only a matter of time before Keon broke out offensively. But Jaron Johnson and Chris Anderson out of junior college are finally really getting into the swing of things, both coming off pretty good games at UTSA. Chris Anderson was probably the second best player for us that night behind Keon. I had 10-3 and really defended, really got to the offensive glass. Those guys are coming. They're athletic. They're talented. And, you know, most junior college players, they just take a little bit of time to adjust to this level, as do freshmen.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on with us. We're looking forward to Thursday. I know you are, and I know you'll be watching even more tape between now and then, trying to find those weaknesses of the Vandals.
Jay, I'm so sick of watching Idaho. I wish we'd tip right now.
But you're going to watch more of it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, until tip. Until tip. And I'm going to be staying next to that heater in the office. Thanks for having me, fellas.
You bet, man. Stay warm out there.
All right, y'all too.
Coach White joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Getting ready for that big whiteout game Thursday inside the TAC. Tip off at 6 o'clock. Free jambalaya, free cotton candy, free pizza to students. That's all the reason you need to go watch some basketball, as if the product on the court wasn't enough. And it is. But they're giving you free jambalaya, cotton candy, and pizza to boot. I am Jay Ford, and this is Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue.
I always love that intro. Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know, right here on Bleed Tech Blue. That's right. We're going to talk Louisiana Tech athletics in more depth than anybody out there. That's a promise, isn't it, Jason?
That is right.
Send us an email with your thoughts, your questions, radio at bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call, Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. The tees we've been talking about, and I talked a little bit about it the entire show, David Gibbs, who is supposed to be Louisiana Tech's defensive coordinator. It hit the Twitter sphere last night that he was headed to University of Houston. And it was verified today that he is indeed gone to the University of Houston. Let me play devil's advocate while we're talking about this. If you're David Gibbs, you coached at the Texans, you've got a house in Houston, that's a guarantee. I guarantee he's still got his house in Houston.
He's probably been there the last 2 years because he's been unemployed.
Correct. Do you want to Jason just he's throwing down the gauntlet because he's been unemployed. He's got a house in Houston. Would you rather try to sell your house in Houston, a market that's saturated, or come to Ruston and buy another house?
And Houston's got a bigger budget than us. I'm sure he's
getting paid more. Oh, I'm sure he doubled. I would imagine he doubled his pay.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. If not,
let's be honest. It probably is close to double.
it's probably a big bump. So, yeah, I mean, you can't blame him. And CoachingSearch.com talks about last year, 19 guys accepted two different jobs.
And this year?
This year, 8. He was the 8th one. So it happens. You accept a job. A couple weeks later, some other job opens up. And you're like, eh, see you later.
Does it make it right? No.
No. Is it cool? No. But, you know, it's just part of the business. You know, recruits do it all the time. So now the coaches are getting in on the act. So
getting in on it.
You know, whatever. So obviously Coach Holtz interviewed several guys for several different positions. I'm sure he'll have a guy coming in pretty soon.
Correct.
So let's. And there's nowhere to go but up on the defense.
You just went there, too. You're throwing down the gauntlet today.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it was they were 120th ranked. So, yeah. From that perspective,
Houston's defense couldn't have been much better.
They were 115.
Yeah, they were 115.
Okay, so either way, he's got his work cut out for him.
Indeed.
I might as well stay in Houston where I am, where
you're
the
playing
defense
devil's
is
advocate.
Bad.
You're playing devil's advocate with me.
I'm with you, man. I agree.
Hey, you can't blame him.
No. I mean, 90%
of people given the same choice make the
would
same
have said
decision.
It. You know what? If Sonny D had been like, okay, y'all go to Cal, and then what? 2 days later, or something like that, the Tuberville left from Texas Tech. He would have been like, oh, well, I'm going to Texas
and
Tech.
And it happened to Sonny D. He hired a guy to be his O-line coach.
Yep.
And the guy had been the running backs coach at Arizona State a couple years ago, but that coach got fired and he left. Well, then the running backs coach at Arizona State, who used to be the head coach at Memphis, Larry Porter, he moved to the University of Texas. The job's open again. He said, Sonny, thanks, no thanks, see ya. So after 2 weeks of being the Cal O-line coach, he's now the Arizona State running backs coach.
And just to prove that it has nothing to do with somebody's character, in my opinion, Zach Yenzer, who's a great guy, had a chance to get to know him when he was at Louisiana Tech last year as a GA. He took the Troy job as offensive line coach. Then Sonny calls him after the guy leaves him and says, hey, you want the job out here at Cal? And he takes it. So it's not a character issue, in my opinion. It's just the nature of the business.
Yeah, I mean, Yenzer goes from making peanuts as an intern here, and now he's, you know, making six figures plus at Cal. So it's a really good deal for him.
It's at the end of the day, like Joe Dirt's insinuating in the underneath music, it's all about the money. But that being said, everybody's going to do it. Everybody is. Does it make it right? No.
Well, yeah, and even like, you know, Charlie Strong's getting applauded for staying at Louisville, but he talked to Tennessee.
It's the same difference.
A year ago, people were talking about him for the Arkansas job because he's an Arkansas native, and he said, no, I'm building something at Louisville. I'm not going anywhere else. He still talked to Tennessee a year later. Got to listen.
Because it's leverage.
Right. Speaking all about the money, you're telling me Nike comes up to Rory, hey, we're going to give you $2 million. He didn't even think twice about that.
Rory, right? McIlroy is who you're talking about.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of people who are listening that might be thinking you're talking about Rory the racing car.
What? I don't even know.
For kids who have, you know what Rory in the racing car is?
No, I'm sorry.
Is that from Cars?
It's some cartoon, and it's supposedly I look like Big Chris on Rory the racing car. Really, the only reason that I know what.
Yeah. Google time.
Google it, and I promise you, I look like Big Chris off of Rory the racing car.
Okay.
But anyway, let's switch gears from.
I see what you did there. Cars, switching gears. You didn't mean to.
No, I really didn't.
Nice.
Nice segue, huh?
God, you're impressive.
So let's switch gears to recruiting. This is how I see. Do I look like the guy or what?
You put that on your Facebook before.
They're all looking at him now here in the studio, and they think it's hilarious. But yes, I'm a Big Chris lookalike. For everybody out there that's on the Google machine, the Twitter machine, enjoy it.
It's uncanny.
It's uncanny. It is that. This is how I see the 2013 class breaking down for Louisiana Tech. You see how I'm moving right along from all that? I don't see Louisiana Tech picking up a quarterback in this class. Jason, do you see him picking up a quarterback?
No, not with Scotty Young here and not with them getting a quarterback last year. You know, you don't want to – if you're a quarterback, you don't want to sign somewhere where they signed a quarterback the year before because he's got a year in the system. And unless you're just – super competitive and super confident in your abilities.
Yeah, which all quarterbacks are.
Most of them are, but they still are going to try to go somewhere where they are the guy. You know, they're the future.
So you look at running back, I think that they could possibly sign one. It came out today that Caleb Blanchard, a four-star running back out of Denham Springs High School, once committed to Arkansas, will be visiting Louisiana Tech the end of the month, January 25th, not this Friday, but the next, he will be in Ruston visiting. He's a 6 foot, 200-pound running back. Would complement what Tech has in the backfield very well. They've got a big bruising back in Kenneth Dixon, have a scat back in Tevin King.
He's similar in size to Dixon, but yeah. Not quite as powerful.
And he's taller, so he spreads out his weight.
But he's a guy, you know, committed to Arkansas. They had a coaching change. They decided not to keep him committed. And
everybody else is full.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, he's talking to the media about, yeah, you know, I'm talking to LSU, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, or somebody. And
Vanderbilt and TCU, right before Christmas, that's who he was talking to.
Yeah, so he's pretty confident he's going to get picked up somewhere big. And now their rivals had a national article about him today, and they're like, you know, he's kind of getting left out in the cold because everybody's full.
And whenever you get dropped by a big school like Arkansas did, I'm not condemning what they did because it happens just like the coaching thing happens every week. He got dropped by them because he didn't fit the new system, so he's then got to find a new place to go. You look at the other positions on the offense, the offensive line. I think they'll get five. They got this is one of their places where Tech's going to really get a lot of players because they need them. They've got two committed, or really one committed right now, and Cam Manning, or two now with Mitchell Bell, who signed today and visited this past weekend. Bell was considering a Baylor visit. He was once committed to Arkansas as well, kind of a common theme right now. He's a big 6'4", 300-pound, 320-pound offensive tackle. That's another big get for this staff already. Joe Sloan, the inside receivers coach, has hit the ground running and has done an impressive job already.
Yeah, Bell's committed to Arkansas, and then on signing day, December 15th or so, it came out that he wasn't going to be signing, and he kind of went back out on the market, so to say. And I mean, in last week, the early part of this week, you know, this weekend, it sounded like it was going to be between Tech and Baylor, and so Tech got that commitment. And you know, you're going to see them going after JUCOs and high school kids on the O-line and at receiver because they lost so many. You want a couple of JC guys to come in there to help compete for spots right away, but you need a couple of freshmen to help build depth. So he's going to be a guy that can definitely come in and compete for a spot right away. And then you've got guys like Cam Manning that they recruited that are going to, you know, get in the system. And they've got other guys, obviously, on the way. And then at linebacker, you've got three JC guys because you lost just about everybody and you had a two linebacker scheme. Now you're going to three. And you've only got a couple of young guys coming up with not a lot of experience. So they signed three guys to kind of just refill the cupboard, so to speak.
You also mentioned wide receiver before we leave the offense, that they probably will sign five, I think. And then two are already committed with Trent Taylor and Liddell Marshall at that time. I haven't talked to Liddell Marshall in a while. He hadn't returned my calls. I'm not sure if he's still in the fold or not. But another one added this week, and this is probably the biggest storyline of the week for Louisiana Tech from top to bottom, honestly. Kevin Spears out of Holy Cross in New Orleans, a 6'3", 195-pound receiver, committed on his visit to Louisiana Tech. As soon as he gets back to New Orleans, calls LSU, who he was scheduled to have a visit with this weekend, tells him, hey, I committed to Louisiana Tech. I need to cancel my visit. And he goes, and Frank Wilson, the recruiting coordinator, says, oh, here's an offer. They offered Spears on the spot after he said that he committed to Louisiana Tech. I'm not saying that they did it just because he committed to Louisiana Tech. I'm not a conspiracy theorist when it comes to that. But that's how it worked out. He is visiting LSU this weekend. He will cut off his visits after this weekend. He's going to decide between LSU and Louisiana Tech. Of course, this is Jabbar Jalouk coming into full effect already, and it did not take long. He isn't rated yet on the Rivals.com. The word on the street from my Rivals sources is it's coming, and it's going to be a good thing. It'll be a 3-star or above. The guy, he's impressive.
Yeah, and just talk about coming out of nowhere. And so
he was completely unknown until his senior season, had a monster senior season, and then he blew up. He was pondering going out for a Utah. He has a Utah offer. I mean, he absolutely came out of nowhere. And he enjoyed his visit to Ruston this past weekend, made a connection to the players. It's not too far away from home from New Orleans. So after this weekend, a whole lot more should be known after he visits LSU. But hold on to your britches, as they say in the South. This thing ain't over. I'm calling him a soft verbal because anytime a guy's committed somewhere and he's still taking visits, he's obviously not real solid on his decision.
Yeah, and anytime they offer somebody in that kind of circumstance, you know, obviously he's going to listen. He's going to go visit. But when he gets down there, is that offer going to turn out to be one of these gray shirt offers? Or
they're telling him it's this year.
Yeah. Or, I mean, is it going to be a good offer? You know, we saw that happen with Elliott Porter a few years ago. He's talking to Tech. He's talking to a couple other schools. A&M comes in and offers. Then LSU offers. He commits. And then right before signing day, they say, yeah, we want you to gray shirt. And he's like, dude, come on. So he just had to drop and scramble for a spot, goes to Kentucky. doesn't like it up there, has to come back to LSU the next year to be a walk-on. And now he's, you know, a fourth-year junior and a backup offensive lineman. And so they got him, but, you know, they made him kind of go through the – make a runaround, really. And so
– But they can do it.
They can, because the kids that grow up in this state want to play for him.
It's just the, that's just the nature of said beast. But, yes, given that, Louisiana Tech will sign five receivers. I'm going to go ahead and say, you're going to laugh at me, 2.5 are committed right now. Yes, I'm going to say 2.5. So the one that's solid and isn't going anywhere is Trent Taylor out of Evangel. And he'll be picking up his third star here shortly, I've been told by rivals. So three-star wide receiver out of Evangel, who's just he's just impressive. If you watched him in the state championship game against John Curtis, he was a one-man wrecking crew on offense. He was about all that Evangel could do on offense, and it was impressive. So you go to the defensive side of the football now. Defensive back, I think they'll look to sign four, maybe three. One committed right now in former Bulldog Derek Douglas's son, Kelsey Douglas from Missouri City, Texas at Hightower High, a 5'11", 175-pound defensive back. So keeping the legacy going in the Douglas family. But that's the only defensive back commitment they have at this time. So moving right along from there, linebacker next. I think they'll look to get five there because they are going from, or they may not be now, but I think that they will be going to a 4-3. Whatever defensive coordinator Coach Holtz chooses, I think will be a 4-3 guy. I don't think they're going to stay in the 4-2-5. They've got a lot of linebackers committed right now. Three junior college guys like you were talking about earlier. Tony Johnson out of Southwest Mississippi at Summit, Mississippi. Nick Thomason from Northeast Mississippi in Boonville, Mississippi. Both of those guys are middle linebackers. Mitchell Villamez out of Brenham, Texas, Blinn Community College, a 6'1", 230-pound guy, more than likely a weak side linebacker for the Bulldogs. Really played in the 4-2-5 this past year at Blinn. So if you do go to the 4-2-5, you've got a guy that has 4-2-5 experience playing the safety position down in the box.
Yeah, and, you know, TCU runs the 4-2-5. There's other colleges that do it, so you might find a coach that has had experience in that before. But they need linebackers either way. I mean, you're down to guys that were moving from different positions or guys that were freshmen, redshirt freshmen having to play. And so you don't have a lot of experience. You needed some depth there. They've got the three commitments. Got to think they're going to have a high school kid or two commit. But the problem is the previous staff was recruiting for a 4-2-5. And there's not a lot of linebackers on the board, so they're having to kind of start from scratch and finding those linebackers that are out there.
Let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we will be talking more recruiting, wrapping up the show. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones joining me here in this segment. Casey's kind of tapping out. He's not a recruiting guy.
I'm not bringing it on the last. I'm not a closer. You know,
that's what we're here for.
I'm not a
closer. Veterans are here for closing.
Good. Y'all take it.
You're just the hot sauce.
It's my birthday tomorrow.
It's your birthday. Take a birthday break.
Yeah.
Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call, Rust and Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rust and Tractor. You know, Jason, another position on the defense, we're continuing to talk about what I predict how the class will break down, how many of each position Tech will sign. Defensive line, three, with all of them already committed. They had Antonio McGee at Parkway that many thought, including myself, would be the next commitment for Tech. Coach Holtz decided that they were done with defensive linemen. He was the odd man out. Three was all that they've got room for in this class. So he's the odd guy out.
Yeah, and you know, I think if the right guy came along that they liked, they could find room for one more tackle or one more end, but they're not just going to go take one to fill a position. kind of like running back. They weren't planning on taking one, I don't believe.
But if Caleb Tucker comes along?
Or yeah, Blanchard. If he comes along, you find room for him. So
Caleb Blanchard.
They've got, 14 commitments, 10, 11 spots left. Expecting to be heavy on high school linebackers, O-line, and receivers because that's the needs you have. But, you know, you can see it. And then, obviously, you need a couple of defensive backs.
You almost went on without talking about the most important position. Special teams.
Yeah,
there's two special teams guys committed. One will be a gray shirt. That's deep snapper Tucker Etheridge out of the Atlanta area. And kicker Jonathan Barnes out of Baton Rouge. They're still on the search for a punter.
Those are some big shoes to fill.
Those are some big shoes to fill.
You see what I did there?
They are.
All right.
Ray Guy's shoes to fill.
Correct.
Two-time Ray Guy's shoes to fill.
Two times.
So there's plenty of spots out there. One guy of interest that's a local guy that, Jason, you've had the opportunity to talk to the last couple of days is Philip Hay out of your alma mater, Parker's Chapel up in the El Dorado area.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of tradition of football up there. They've been playing it for about 5 years, but... But Phil's been committed to Arkansas State this whole time. The previous staff had recruited him as a defensive back, and he really wants to play offense. He plays quarterback for Parker's Chapel because he's their best athlete, but he runs a lot, obviously. And the new staff at Arkansas State said, yeah, you can play offense, but he decided to open it back up. Coach Rote was in his house yesterday or at the school yesterday. He's undecided if he's going to come visit Tech this weekend or next, but I have a feeling – you know, I have a feeling he'll come down. It's not like it's a long drive or anything. And
he and Kenneth Dixon are good friends.
Yeah, they're friends, and he feels like he'd fit the offense really well. They want him at receiver, and he would give him a big play guy out there. And so he's also – the third school that's in the mix is Harvard, believe it or not, because he's got really good grades. He visited them last weekend.
He's got a 25 on his ACT and over a 4.0 GPA. So Phillip's a guy that Tech wouldn't have to worry about in the classroom. I have a gut feeling, Jason, that Hay probably ends up coming to Tech. With his connect with its proximity to El Dorado, his friend Kenneth Dixon on the team, I really like Tech's chances with Philip Hay. And Phillip's a 5'11", 180-pound athlete, runs between a 4.4 and a 4.5. He's a speedy guy. Could play outside receiver with DJ Banks. Could play inside. He could play a multitude of positions.
Yeah, that's another receiver you can see. And then another one that I talked to yesterday, Eddie Johnson out of Navarro. I mean, he's 6'3", 200. He's a big guy. And another Arkansas State guy, you know, that was seemingly going to sign with them. And now, next thing you know, he's talking to other teams again. So Tech was visiting him today, and so I'm still working on. I talked to him last night. He told me, let me know how it goes. Hadn't heard back from him yet, but I'll get together with him tonight and kind of see how that went.
But and also there's tight ends that Tech's talking to. Tech's looking to get a tight end in the mix again. That's
because they don't have one on the roster.
There's not a single one on the roster that is a true tight end. Chandler Spence was on the roster this past year. He's a true tight end. Never really got to play tight end after Dooley left. But the biggest name probably that was in attendance last weekend was a tight end. And Stanish Dobard, a University of Miami commitment, and one of Jaluk's former players at Edna Carr.
Yeah, one of Edna Carr's two big-time recruits, and one of two big-time tight ends in the state, the other one being the Carter kid.
Seathan Carter,
so.
At Rummel. So he's another New Orleans guy that Jaluk's on. So
if you want to play tight end somewhere and have a pretty good chance to start right away, this would be your place.
Because there's not a single.
and it's kind of like Blanchard, you know. Blanchard wanted to go somewhere that didn't have a running back committed already. Tech didn't have one. They weren't recruiting one. But Tech's got Hunter Lee that's going to be a junior. Dixon and King are going to be sophomores, and that's all you have on the roster. So why not come here?
We got some walk-ons on the roster that have some potential to play. A couple of transfers, one from Northwestern State and Ricky Courtney, and from Alcorn State and
Marlon Seats.
So there's
and then Brandon Davis. A lot of people think he's a scholarship guy. So
There's some guys there, but you can't turn down a guy like Caleb Blanchard if he's available. And the way that the recruiting game is played on Rivals.com, don't be surprised because of how everybody's falling off on Blanchard as if he loses a star. And that's something that happens.
Yeah.
And whether it makes sense to you or not, it's just the nature of the beast. It stinks for the kid, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but he'll care about that for all of a month, and then he's a college football player.
If a month.
Yeah, he won't care about it that long.
It'll be in the media guide, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's true. So I think they're, some of these guys that they're here at the end, exciting names like Mitchell Bell, like Stanage Dobard.
Seathan Carter, Xavier Woods, a guy at West Monroe that we haven't talked about.
Caleb Blanchard, yeah. Xavier, cornerback.
And the guy that we haven't talked about that will count towards this class, Paul Turner, West Monroe, former West Monroe product, LSU Tiger, transferring to Tech I don't know if he's already left school or not at LSU, but he'll be a Bulldog this spring, I believe.
This
spring, it'll be this coming fall. So,
That's something we probably should have talked about more. I'm glad you brought him up because, I mean, that could be a huge addition to the team. And that's another West Monroe transfer we get that's huge for the team. I mean, we see them. They don't sign here at first, but they want to come back closer to home. And obviously, the program over there puts out Division I talent at a high level. And so, hey, go see what's out there. And if you're ready to come back home, we'll take you.
From personality to quality character to quality athlete, he's almost a spitting image of DJ Banks.
Yeah, and we saw what Banks did. One of the top kick return players in the country, and just added a spark to this team. And so if Turner's able to come in and do something like that, hey,
and then when you look at another guy like Xavier Woods, who is going to visit, I believe, Stanford this weekend, and then Indiana, then ULL to finish it off. Whenever you've got two of your former teammates that play similar roles as you do, even though he's a defensive back, that's going to play a role in Woods' decision. He very well may be a Bulldog before it's all said and done. He's a three-star defensive back out of West Monroe.
Yeah, I think Tech's going to close strong. They're going to get some names that I think some fans will be surprised to see sign. And given the fact that they came in late as a staff, still don't have a complete staff, and if they can pull off some of these names here at the last minute, it's really going to be good. They've got some holes filled with the special teams and getting the JC guys in at linebacker and O-line. So now it's all about just getting the quality kids and good players. You need about 10 or 12 more high school kids to really get that depth and get the talent coming up in the program, and I think they're going to do it.
Well, good show, guys. Casey, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, man. Sorry I didn't really contribute that last 30 minutes. I'm just cold.
You look like you're bundled up. When I came in here at the end of Bayou Sportsline, it was warm.
They got the AC cranked up now.
I turned the AC on because it was cold. Or it was hot. Was it not, Joe Dirt? It was toasty.
And I'm sitting right by this vent.
The vent's up there now.
That one's coming out of that floor.
No, it's not. But anyway, good show, fellas. We'll be back same time next week. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.